broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now, ladies and gentlemen. This is the broadcast for January the 8th in the year of our Lord, 2017, or 18. Wow, January 8th, 2018, in the year of our Lord, 2018, by the way. Our goal always is to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances are brilliant and one of the great solutions to restore the republic. We reject revolution, but stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you had a delightful weekend. We talked about Roy Moore sued by this Lee Gorfman lady, one of his accusers. She's alleging now defamation, and she says she doesn't want money, but she just wants a public apology from Roy Moore. I doubt she's ever going to get it, and time will tell how that court case rumbles through the courts, but no doubt it'll cost a conservative a lot of money to defend himself. Ranchers defeat Big Brother in property rights fight. Bob Unruh, WND.com, has the details, and I'm grateful that there's a win there, but I'm concerned because whenever we get a win on property rights, it seems like the federal government does not obey the law. Tragic but true. Chelsea Clinton wishes the Church of Satan a happy new year. That's kind of a strange story. Peter Thiel, that's the big financier guy that's quite libertarian, gay gentleman in Silicon Valley. I guess he wants to create a Fox News competitor. Time will tell if he gets that off the ground. I guess Oregon is now letting people pump their own gas, kind of a strange tale. It used to have to be in Oregon where they'd have service stations and they'd pump the gas for you. And by the way, I like the service station idea where they pump their gas for you better than I like getting out and doing it myself. But I'm not really for a law to force one way or the other. It used to be there was money in the gas industry. And then it got to where there's no margins and they hope you go inside because that's the only way they can make money is on the snacks and such. Ajit Pai, that's the guy over there at the FCC, cancels industry trade speech over death threats. What a tragedy. I don't care what your views are. No one should be subject to death threats based on free speech, folks. If you want to feel younger, there's a new study out that says all you got to do is act younger. You buy that? Well, that was the 1 hour show we did on Friday. Second hour, believe it or not, we had a rebroadcast. I had some business to attend to, so we took the second hour off, and I'm glad I did. Promoting God, family, and country is what we do best. All right, that's the recap of the can. It's available at libertyroundtable.com. News the networks refuse to use today starts now. Lowell Nelson with us, campaignforliberty.org. Welcome back from vacation, my friend.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, gentlemen. Good to be back.
As far as I understand, you had a tremendous vacation. Man, you take long vacations, buddy.
Well, yeah, once a year. The Christmas vacation tends to be 2 weeks, and we go some places, and it turns out to be a really nice event for my wife and me and our family when they were younger.
Now you got a chance to read a book, to go visit some cool sites, right?
Yeah. In fact, the book was so good that I wanted to mention it. Now, this is the topic, this book is on a topic that's, off the normal topic that we usually discuss on this show, but it's a book about gymnastics, specifically a book about Dominique Moceanu. Moceanu, I'm not quite sure how to say that last name, but I think I'm close anyway. Dominique was a top-of-the-line, Olympic gymnast. She was one of the Magnificent Seven, so-called Magnificent Seven, members of the USA women's gymnastics team, who in 1996, won the gold medal for team gold medal there in gymnastics, which I don't think it had ever been done before. It was the first time the U.S. women's gymnastics team took the team gold at the Olympics. She was a member of that team. And but her story, her life story, I had no idea. My wife and I just love to watch women's gymnastics and ice skating and volleyball and, all kinds of sports like that. But we take a particular interest in gymnastics during the Olympics. And, of course, we saw that Olympics. We saw Dominique compete. We saw Mary Lou Retton, of course, when she competed. And we just, you know, made the Olympics part of our lives, basically, because of our interest in athletics. And but we had no idea about Dominique's story. She has a fascinating life story. She was born to Romanian parents, or Russian parents, who are living here in the United States. She's the oldest of three girls. But at the time she grew up, she didn't realize that 2 years after she was born, her mom and dad had another little girl born without legs, Sam. And the mom and dad gave this this young girl up for adoption. In fact, the mom couldn't even see the baby after it was born. The dad just simply decided in connection with his doctor.
Horrible stuff.
Yeah, well, yeah, and to give the baby away up for adoption. And so, you know, the father makes all the decisions in that culture. I mean, that's the culture they came from. And so I guess it's normal for them, but for you and me, it just sounds horrendous. As we read this book, we just couldn't believe our ears, our eyes, basically. You know, after reading the book, and let me just digress to the little girl's, the younger sister's story a little bit. She grew up as Jen, what is her last name? Jen, it's right here, Bricker. Jen Bricker, the family that adopted her, gave her a good life, a really good life. You know, her other mom and dad, her real mom and dad, biological parents, probably could not have given her a very good life, because Dominique, in her growing up, was just verbally abused and emotionally abused by her dad, basically. And she had you would call it a terrible life growing up. So, you know, Jen Bricker, in contrast, had a much, much better childhood, much better adolescence and teenage years, and she became this professional acrobat and aerialist, Sam, and actually went on tour. She became known nationwide. In fact, if you Google Jen Bricker, you will see an amazing young woman who overcame her handicap and Jen never knew that she had a handicap. You know, she just grew up believing she could do anything, because that's what her foster parents inspired in her. And so it turns out to be a really great story. Well, so Jen, as a girl with no legs, she loved watching gymnastics, and she grew up loving to watch Dominique Mosiadu, and they looked a lot alike, and she just idolized Dominique and followed her career. And then finally, when Jen was about 16 years old, or 17, I can't remember exact age, her mom and dad disclosed to her that she was, in fact, Dominique's younger sister. You know, and she was just ecstatic. Jen was just absolutely ecstatic to know that, you know, she had this feeling that she had this special kinship or love for Dominique. Had no idea they were sisters. And so she wrote to Dominique, and this is a little bit after Dominique got married. In fact, Dominique was married and pregnant at the time. She gets this letter out of the blue from this woman named Jen Bricker, this young lady named Jen Bricker, but accompanying the letter, in which Jen averred that she was the sister, younger sister to Dominique, she accompanied that letter with legal documents and papers that pretty much proved, you know, her relationship with her filial relationship with Dominique. And so Dominique was stunned to read this, to receive this letter. It was just stunned, but replied within a week or two or three, and said, you know, let's talk. But to her, she couldn't believe that her parents would have done this, would have given away her younger sister. Now, 8 years after Dominique was born, their parents had another girl, and so Dominique did have a younger sister, 8 years younger than her. That's the one she knew about. Both of them were kind of verbally abused, had a rough childhood, but anyway, Dominique got to the top of the game, the top of the Olympic sport, became an Olympic gold medalist, and then got married and has a wonderful young family, and then learns that she's a sister to Jen Bricker, who's a professional acrobat and aerialist, they get together, and basically life is good now. I mean, it's a riveting story, but it's basically, you know, they're living happily ever after. The three sisters all know each other. They get together and talk, and so why do I mention this story, Sam? Two reasons. Number one, I mention it because it is a great story. It's a heart-wrenching story on one hand, but what a blessing that Jen Bricker overcame her,
against all odds, ladies and gentlemen, and it's true.
Absolutely. Which is an example for the rest of us. And then number two, I mention the story because Dominique is going to bat for all the women in women's gymnastics to get the politics out of the sport.
All right, hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Lowell Nelson on your radio.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
Politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, gets back from vacation, has a riveting book. Give us the title of the book one more time, Lowell.
Off Balance, a Memoir is the name of it. You know, a balance refers to what a gymnast has to do in order to perform at the top of her game. It takes an incredible amount of balance, strength, and agility to be a gymnast, obviously. And so her book is named Off Balance, a Memoir. And which brings me to my second point. The reason I mention it, Sam, is because of the politics involved in USA women's gymnastics, probably more so than any other sport. It's basically a dictatorship, and there's, you know, two or three people at the top who decide whether you get to compete on the USA Olympic team or the national team or whatever, instead of using the actual, you know, objective measurement to determine who's on the team. Basically, you got to be a favorite, you know, you got a brown nose and be a favorite. And that's one of the reasons why the young women who have competed over the years, they don't say anything about it, because they don't want to poison the well. They don't want any blowback from going, you know, blowing the whistle on these people who are running the USA Women's Gymnastics program. But Dominique was different. She grew up with a hard life. She at age 17, for example, she had to petition the court for emancipation from her parents so that she could get away from them, and because, you know, they were draining all of her financial gains and resources, and, you know, so she had a really tough life. She's a fighter, and she's adamant And so she is right now, she's, I think, 32 years old with a young family. Her younger sister, Jen Bricker, is 30 or somewhere thereabouts. And anyways, they're fighting to make the sport better. And I just have to tell you, Sam and Kurt, this is one of those books that just we read to each other. Vicki and I, Vicki would read a chapter, I'd read a chapter, and I would be reading and start crying, and I'd hand the book to Vicki, and she'd continue from where I was reading. She'd start crying, and we'd just laugh at each other, crying at this sensational story. It is a heart-wrenching story. And so if you want a great book, ladies and gentlemen, about gymnastics, a sport that you might love and have an interest in, take a look at the Off Balance by Dominique Mosciano, and then also take a look at Jen Bricker. You can just see her on the internet. Browsing the internet, she has a new book, Jen Bricker does, called Everything is Possible. And that is an amazing book. She's 31 years old right now. She's been traveling the world. Amazing aerial acrobat, no legs, just amazing. So anyway, there you go. There's the feel-good story of our vacation, Sam. We just totally, thoroughly enjoyed this story.
All right. So there's certainly tragedy in the way the parents acted. There's tragedy in the way the girls were abused. There's hope in the story of conquering and overcoming. Well, Colton Barrett did not overcome.
Wow. So we have to turn from a feel-good story to a very sad story, Sam. Colton Barrett was a young man in Utah, lived in Utah, very active in scouting, in motorcycle, motocross. He was probably better than his dad in motocross racing. And at age 13, as he got ready to go to a scout camp, he went in to get his physical. And his doctor, you know, looked at him and said, you know, you're in great shape, but you're reaching that age where you probably ought to get the Gardasil HPV vaccine. And so his mom, you know, agreed, okay, if you say so, if you think that's a good idea, let's do it. And he got three doses because apparently that's the way it's administered, this HPV vaccine. So he received the vaccination, and after the third installment, I'm not sure what you call them, but after the third dose of this HPV vaccine, within a week, he just came down with symptoms that were alarming, where he couldn't hold his head up, and he lost muscle control. He began to be paralyzed. He was hospitalized the next morning. And was in the hospital for like 3 months or something, receiving constant therapy. He had to learn how to walk again, how to breathe, how to do daily tasks differently. He never regained function of his lungs, his neck, and his right arm, Sam. It was very limited use of his left arm. He was attached to a ventilating machine through the trachea, and that's how he received his daily breath. Colton was a spark plug, though. He did everything he possibly could do within the constraints of being hooked to a ventilator, and it's just a sad story. You can see his story on YouTube. The documentary Vaxxed, you know, the show Vaxxed came out a year or two ago, and then they went around the country and they've been following up the movie with the documentary with these snippets of other young men and women who have been injured by vaccines. And so they did interview Colton last year, maybe the year before, and made this one of their follow-up interviews with real-life people who have been injured by vaccines. And so you can go to YouTube and see that. You can see Colton's story. And thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people by now have seen his story. But he passed away, Sam, just last a couple of days ago. I think it was Thursday evening. No, it was Friday evening, due to the injuries he sustained from the HPV vaccine. I just want to quote one thing that his mom said. Colton's mom said, quote, "I was so naive to whatever the medical doctor says. man, if the doctor is going to say something, he's the one that went to school, he knows the best, so of course you're going to do what they recommend. And so that's what I did. He's been his doctor his whole life. He's been my doctor since I was a teenager, and I still trust in him in a lot of other things. But now when it comes to vaccinations, I don't trust anybody. End of quote. Boy, sobering story, Sam. And so the lesson for us, I believe, as a society, is that we must not require anyone to be vaccinated. So legislation, Congress, I don't care who you are, but if you're a public official, you must not require anyone to be vaccinated. Now, if they want to be vaccinated of their own free will and choice, fine. You know, I'm fine with that. But we shouldn't be forced to be vaccinated. I think the state of Texas a few years ago was the first state that made it law you had to be vaccinated with this HPV vaccine in order to attend high school. And I think there's such an uproar about that they backed off on that. But I don't know. It's just a sad thing. The immunity can be achieved naturally. It doesn't have to be achieved unnaturally. And administering, trying to gain immunity through the administration of a vaccine is some people believe that's how you can gain that immunity.
Are they even admitting that the vaccinations are the cause of all this for Colton?
Well, the pharmaceutical companies do not admit fault at all. They do not admit that they caused the problem with Colton. They won't admit to his death. But the family knows better. You and I know better. And that's why it's so sad, Sam, because, you know, the CDC and the pharmaceutical companies simply do not take responsibility, and you can't sue them. You know, the Colton's family can't sue the pharmaceutical because they're immune. The government has given them legal immunity from any suit, any lawsuit filed by the family.
See, but Lowell, you were saying the immunity, you know, occurs another way, but in this case, the government grants immunity, right?
You're exactly right, Sam. They granted immunity to the pharmaceutical company that manufactured the HPV vaccine.
The Utah news. This guy's from Utah, right?
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
I see the Utah news strangely silent, but all kinds of anti-vaccination organizations, or whatever you want to call it, pro-choice organizations, I use that a little hesitantly, they're all positive on it and reporting the truth in it. By the way, there's a GoFundMe funeral expense fund. GoFundMe.com/funeral expense for Colton Barrett. That is available now if folks want to donate to it as well.
Yes, thank you for mentioning that, Sam. His family, you know, like any other family with, you know, basically lower middle income class family, the expenses required to, you know, because of the hospitalization and all the things that he has had to go through these past, you know, 1 or 2 or 3 years.
So far they got 12 grand. We need a little bit more.
Yeah. And if you can help out, ladies and gentlemen, please help out. That would be most appreciated.
All right. There you have it. When we get back, we're going to talk generally about morality in society. All these stories point to the reality that we need morality if we want to make America great. Ron Paul wrote a column about it. That's next on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
every day I wake up, it's almost like a battle. It's like, well, you know, I could do this today. I could go get drunk.
I don't like beer. I'm an alcoholic because I can't, you know, stop drinking because it alters my mind, but I don't like alcohol.
And I had to keep telling myself that, you know, this is okay. Everybody does this. My whole life was just a big lie.
I can't control if I do take that drink because I'm an addict and I can't.
I admit it's messed me up.
I don't have a very good memory. I have a hard time remembering things when I learn them.
I can't concentrate on one thing for more than 5 or 10 minutes. You have fun until you hit rock bottom and it's not fun anymore.
I remember sitting in assemblies about drugs and I thought, that's never going to happen to me. I'm never going to be like those kids. Here I am.
The choices that you make are choices you're going to have to live with.
A public service message from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Colton Barrett died last week. Gardasil vaccines killed him. Of course, the vaccine companies aren't taking responsibility. Nevertheless, we all know the truth. Or strangely, the mainstream press is silent on the issue. But the poor gentleman died last week. GoFundMe.com/funeral expense for Colton Barrett is where you go to help out. They really need your help. And they raised $12,000 and they're trying to get $15,000 is all they're trying to get, Kurt.
Now, Lowell, why would the mainstream press not have anything to say about this? I mean, it couldn't be that
their advertisers will drop them like a rock, Kurt.
It couldn't be that they receive huge amounts of money from these pharmaceutical entities, you know, in promotion of these deadly toxins, could it?
Well, I think you are onto something there, Kurt. I think the pharmaceutical companies have such a huge influence on media and on politicians and so forth that it would be foolish, business foolish, I guess, for a news outlet to print something which would hurt or harm the reputations of these pharmaceutical companies. It would be a domino that once falls, it might push other dominoes, and then who knows what would happen. And so then, of course, that media company would lose funding and they're hurting already because of alternative media, because of great people like you who put together a show providing alternatives to the mainstream media. So they're walking, it would be business foolish for them, but boy, is it ethically wrong? Absolutely, and I don't go along with that at all. If I were a mainstream outlet, I would want to print the truth, regardless of where that took me. I would want to be like you guys, who are teaching the truth and talking about the truth every day, and I think your listenership is growing. I think the number of people who are aware of the lies and hypocrisy of the mainstream media, all of the fake news and so forth, I think that number is growing daily, and my hat's off to you who have been pioneers in this for several decades now in sharing the truth on the airwaves.
Now, by the way, De Tocqueville, back in the day, you know, toured America and was surprised at how good America was. And said, America's great because America's good. And if America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. And that's what we're seeing today. Ron Paul writes an incredible column at campaignforliberty.org talking about this very issue. Lowell?
Thank you, Sam. He begins his column by simply noting how many Americans have been shocked by the extent of the sexual harassment cases and reporting among public servants in Congress and elsewhere. He then says this, Sam, quote, "No one should be too surprised that those who spend their lives defending and expanding the welfare warfare state engage in immoral personal conduct. It is only natural that an immoral system, like the welfare warfare state, tends to attract individuals likely to practice personal immorality," end of quote. Yeah, very, very interesting there. He then masterfully describes the immorality of the welfare warfare state, correctly saying that it is built on a foundation of taxation and fiat currency controlled by the secretive central bank. He says, while some type of taxation may be necessary to fund the few legitimate functions of government, taking people's money to fund a redistributive welfare state at home and a global empire abroad is nothing more than theft. And the Federal Reserve's erosion of purchasing power is also a form of theft, which I totally agree with, Sam. You and I have talked many times before on this show about the immorality of the inflation tax and the fiat currency being not a sound, not an honest monetary system, but a fiat deceptive system. And it is one of the biggest problems that we have in our country. And any politicians who support this fiat monetary system, they're supporting immorality. They're supporting unsound and dishonest currency. And therefore, we tend to attract, just like Ron says, we tend to attract to this system and to the seat of held by the politicians, people who are immoral. After he thoroughly berates the welfare state, then he takes on the warfare state, you know, reminding us that it relies on violence, which, of course, brings to my mind George Washington's observation that, quote, "Government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. Never for a moment should it be left to irresponsible action," end of quote. The warfare state, Ron Paul writes, is absolutely disastrous. It's rooted in violence, and it tends to the usurpation and erosion of all of our freedom. He says, quote, "Every law preventing us from living our lives as we choose, whether forbidding us from working below minimum wage, preventing us from drinking raw milk, telling private business owners who can and who cannot use what restroom, or requiring us to purchase government-approved health insurance, rests on the threat of force being used against those who refuse to obey." End of quote. So he correctly observes, Sam, that war, the warfare state, that leads to death and dismemberment, to maiming, loss of life and injury, including death and damage to the innocent. He says that a permanent warfare state is also the quickest way to lose our liberties. That is why the Founding Fathers counseled against standing armies and foreign entanglements. And so you can just see, Sam, just in the last, 10 years, 15 years, you know, ever since President Bush declared war on terror, and even before that, you know, 20 years before that, when Nixon, I can't remember, declared a war on drugs. Well, you can't declare war on inanimate objects because those go on forever. So now we have perpetual war against drugs, we have perpetual war against terror, and this perpetual warfare state is why we're losing our liberties. That's one reason why we're losing our liberties. And just in the last 15 years, you can see how many of our liberties we've lost simply because of this war we've declared on terror. And it's a perpetual war. George Bush told us it'll be a war that may go on for generations. you know, and of course the politicians, they're not going to admit that the policies they support are immoral or that they're failures, even though they are failures repeatedly, time and time again in the Middle East. Our neocon policies, foreign policy of intervention, has failed over and over again. But the politicians are not about to admit failure. And it's that pride, Sam, that is so destructive. These defenders and promoters of the welfare warfare state rely on their lies and deceptions. They pretend that more money, more men, more women, more time, that with those things, they will resolve the problem. They're lying to us, Sam. Those things, more money, more time, more men and women fighting, will not resolve the problems. They just create a bigger problem by going in and attempting with the force of government to solve those problems. And so Ron Paul, getting to near the end of his column, he says this, quote, "They also work with allies in the media to promulgate the lie that without the welfare state, the masses would remain poor and uneducated. And without the warfare state, we would be overwhelmed by those who hate us for our freedom." Well, they never mention that many foreigners hate America because of the suffering caused by our hyper-interventionist foreign policy. End of quote. And so, they're, you know, having defrocked the hypocrisy of the welfare warfare state, Ron Paul then summarizes his column with these words, and I want your comments on this, but basically he says, quote, "The welfare warfare state is built on violence and deceit. It is thus inevitable that many of those participating in this immoral system will combine their immoral politics with immoral personal conduct. Hopefully, the revelations of sexual misconduct among the welfare warfare state's Capitol Hill and media defenders will lead more Americans to question the morality and the wisdom of allowing the federal government to run the world, run the economy, and run our lives." End of quote.
And my response is he's spot on, but I would add a couple of other tidbits to the mix. The war on drugs is just as immoral. Not that I'm for drugs, but the government pretends they're warring on drugs, but they're really backing the drug trade. Most people who are addicted nowadays come from the physicians, the folks that supposedly know best. They get hooked on drugs from prescription drugs, and then it goes south from there. And secondly, I would say the pro-abortion or pro-death agenda, primarily through Margaret Sanger targeting black people and more, that's part of the immorality focus as well. We'll talk about it when we get back. I also want to talk about Rand Paul before the end of the hour. He's hanging out with the Donald.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
So I would submit to you this satanic pro-choice deceptive agenda, which is really nothing but pro-death. Disguised as pro-choice, the abortion mills primarily targeting black communities as racist as could all be. Get out. And it goes on. We got to reject that abortion mill, that pro-death killing the most innocent among us. And then I would submit to you that the war on drugs has really served to promote drugs in our society, which is tragic as well. Again, whatever the government seems to do that's unconstitutional becomes an immoral effort. And under the guise of whatever they say they want to get rid of or stop or do or whatever makes sense. I mean, I'm truly for pro-choice because I believe in choice. When it comes to vaccinations, I think you should be able to choose if you want to take them or not. You shouldn't be forced. When it comes to pro-choice, I believe you should be able to work where you want to. You shouldn't be forced by a union. It should be a right-to-work state. When it comes to choices on education, see, I'm very pro-choice, but I'm not pro-death, you see. But they've taken over that mantra, that slogan, and literally used it for the pro-death agenda, and it's worked so well. Same thing with the war on drugs. Of course I'm for a war on drugs. I don't want a drug-infested society that breeds crime and trouble. But the problem is, whatever the government says they're against seems to flourish under their, in my opinion, unconstitutional hand. It's immoral as all get out. And I think those two key tidbits, in addition to the warfare and the welfare state issues that Ron Paul points out so well in his incredible column, should be at the tip of the spear for discussion too, Lowell.
You're absolutely right, Sam. Well put. I couldn't agree with you more. One of the fun things I used to do every Monday morning, Sam, was to call Ron Paul's recorded message so I could hear his weekly. He called it Texas Straight Talk. Every Monday morning he had a new message on there, and so I would listen to his messages on a weekly basis for years. It was always relevant stuff. It was accurate. It was, in fact, it was oftentimes inspiring because he would just speak truth. He'd just tell it like it is. And I so appreciate his continuing that practice even today. Even though he's retired from Congress, he has a Ron Paul Liberty Report show he does every weekday, about 20 minutes long. You can catch it at Ron Paul Liberty Report. Just Google that, I guess. And then I appreciate his weekly columns that he continues to provide, warning us of the dangers of the war on drugs and the welfare state, the warfare state, and so forth. It all goes back to, morality. And what you said earlier, Sam, about Alex de Tocqueville saying that America is good, and I'm sorry, America is great because she is good, and if she ever ceases to be good, she will cease to be great. I believe we've reached that point. I believe.
Amen. And if Donald wants America to be great, then we need to really hammer home to Donald that it's going to take America to be good for it to be great. Anything to add to this before we move to Rand Paul, Kurt?
Say that again, Sam.
Do you have anything to add before we move to Rand Paul?
Ron Paul's been a stellar example for us for years. I think that a lot of what Lowell does on a regular basis is basically because of Ron Paul's efforts and so many others. You could call him the grandfather of the Tea Party movement, the ongoing patriot from the early days, duplicating almost the George Washington, Thomas Jefferson stuff. Anyway, just great stuff to be learning about from a good source, Mr. Ron Paul.
And the best place to get those columns, what, campaignforliberty.org, Lowell?
Yeah. Yes, campaignforliberty.org is a great place. Also, the Ron Paul Institute is a great place. And then finally, the Ron Paul Liberty Report.
All right, there you have that. Now, Rand Paul's in the news. And Rand Paul's putting together a bill and a call to end all U.S. aid to Pakistan. Well, we thought that Rand was just by himself working on this, but now Donald Trump just ripped out a tweet, gentlemen. Trump says Rand Paul's call to end all U.S. aid to Pakistan, a good idea. Well, Rand and Donald are both right on this one, gentlemen.
I hope that they end foreign aid to all all countries, not just Pakistan.
I know, but we got to start somewhere, and he's right, and there's a bill in place to get this done, and now Donald's backing it. Will we get enough support, do you think?
Well, I sure hope so. You know, however, if the president is for it, you know, the media is going to be against it, and so it's going to be a bit of an uphill battle. Nothing unusual there, but I'm encouraged that Trump is agreeing with Rand Paul on this. It's something that Ron, his dad, has been telling us, teaching us, begging us for decades to do, and that is to end foreign aid to these countries. We tend to supply both sides of the ball game. There, we give money to Israel, we give money to Saudi Arabia, we give money to all of these countries over there, many of which are enemies to us, avowed enemies, and yet we still give them money. So it's hard to figure that out.
Yeah, amen to that. Anyway, I commend Rand Paul and I commend Donald Trump. I hope they get traction on that one. That is a positive news piece, to say the least. All right, Kurt, speaking of morality, we have gambling everywhere in our society, too. Let's say you win $1 billion in the Powerball scenario, huh?
Well, that's a good point, Sam. Over the weekend, they had the one of the largest, maybe the largest of all time, big... Powerballs, Mega Millions. Lowell follows this really close because he's always buying a lot of, lottery tickets, that kind of thing. But they had a $570 million Powerball that was going to be awarded in New Hampshire. Down in Florida, a $450 million million Mega Millions jackpot awarded. But key thing is, at least those guys, since those two states don't have state income taxes, and there's even some benefits from the new federal tax code for 2018, that there won't be quite such a big hit for those guys who won those, even though Well, you know, for example, the winners down there may benefit from the tax law changes to estate taxes, so you got a little less there. Then you've got may affect their final tax bill that, you know, was 39.6 before the highest rate on federal taxes. Now it's only 37. One of the biggest parts is in
now.
New
what's 2% of $1 billion, though, Kurt? Because it sounds like, you know, not too much, only 2%, but it's a lot of cash.
That adds up. Yeah, that's a good point, Sam. I don't know what the numbers are, but the bottom line is at least those, you know, winners, they may be able to keep more of, quote, their money.
Well, and my problem really is, you know, when did the government get into the business of literally using games of chance to fill the coffers of government and to reward some at the expense of others? In other words, legalized plunder is what gambling is, in my opinion.
But this is good for education, Sam, don't you?
Oh, I see. Well, why don't we just have choice in education and let the costs go down due to competition and get gambling out of the mix? And why do we want to use an ill to supposedly fund a virtue and all this kind of lie? Why don't we stand on the truth? And you know, and I'm not against
imagine
if somebody
that.
Wants to have somebody in their basement.
Pro-choice
and
education.
Go ahead.
Pro-choice and education, Sam.
Yeah, wow. See, I'm pro-choice in every case almost, except for pro-death.
Killing babies.
Or pro-immorality. But what I don't understand is, you know, if somebody wants to get together in their basement and lose all their money in a gambling ring, I don't want the government to be close enough to the people to know or care. My problem is, why do we have the government inserting itself as the, quote, what, arbitrator? Or the set laws against the people in favor of the few at the expense of the many. It's legalized plunder, Lowell. What do you say to that?
I say we got to stop that, and how do we do that? Well, we get legislators in office who will refuse to intervene that way, but just one at a time, but we can do it. So I say go for it. You know, let's there's two vacancies in the legislature here in Utah, for example, and people who run, let's make sure that we support the people who understand the proper role of government to fill those vacancies. If we get enough people there, it doesn't take a majority, by the way, it just takes an irate, tireless minority, and we can change the laws to protect, and so that our laws will follow the proper role of government. We get government.
Yeah, because if we're going to say Me Too, if we're going to have Me Too as a hashtag and it's really about all women that are sexually abused by these evil men, what about the Me Too gambling scenario where the government literally gets in bed with the private sector rich mobsters and stuff like that at the casinos and they just rape everybody's wallets? It's like Me Too could be everywhere.
But yeah. But Sam, we're, you know, Utah, you talk about Utah, it misses out on these huge, economic benefits of gambling. I mean, you know, you got all these other states that
Well, Utah's far from perfect, and there's certainly laws in Utah that I'm not happy about, but it's the most family-oriented community. There's a few that compare in America, thank heavens, but it's one of the only family-oriented communities that I know of. You don't have gambling and carnage everywhere. All right, last story before the end of the hour. You know the shooter in Las Vegas, how we haven't heard of a motive, we haven't heard any details. They continue to change the story on that scenario over and over and over. The guy that supposedly caught the shooter or first discovered the shooter, you know, he went to Mexico right after that, and it was very strange. Well, now it turns out the Mandalay Bay staff had multiple interactions with the Las Vegas shooter before the massacre. They didn't admit that at first, but that's now come out, lol.
Well, that's true, and I hate the way they use the word shooter in the singular format, because there were multiple shooters at multiple locations, but I think that's the biggest deception that has been foisted on the American people. Kate Daly was there that night, and she listened to the police scanner in her car because she couldn't get home that night because it blocked off the freeways, and so she was up until what I guess 4:30 that night listening to the police scanner, and she heard firsthand on the police scanner of the multiple shootings. And so there are multiple shooters, probably half a dozen different shooters at multiple locations in Vegas, and the mainstream media is covering that up, folks.
You've only got 2 seconds. What do you think of Bitcoin, lol?
I think it's probably risky. Pretty risky. I wouldn't do it. I don't know this sound and honest system.
There you have it. Fiat money, digital style, ladies and gentlemen. And I told a buddy of mine a couple of weeks ago or last week or whatever, I was saying, hey, it'll be eclipsed by another currency. That is to come. Second hour. Liberty Roundtable Live. Thank you, Lowell. Godspeed, my friend, and welcome back, brother.
You're welcome. Good to be with you. Thank you.
There he does. Always a stellar job. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org is his website. Check it out. We declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. The only question left is, will you help? LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com. Donate today. This nation shall endure.